The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Good. Thank you, Brother Palmore. Take your Bible and go back, if you will. Look at Acts 13 and verse 13, where the Bible says, "And when Paul and his company, loosed," it says, "from Paphos, came to Perga in Pamphylia," the Bible says, "And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." Why is it that John quit? Why is it that you and I ought to consider not quitting? Can I tell you, I think that you ought to, if you have a dictionary, maybe kind of mark that one out and just decide that you're not going to quit. I have seen Sunday school teachers that used to be that are no more. Now, mind you, I've been preaching for 34 years. Doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it has. I've seen bus captains that used to be great bus captains, but are no more. I've seen men and women, husbands and wives, come together to church, but now a husband comes and sits by himself. I've seen husbands and wives come to church, and now a wife comes and sits by herself. I've seen teenagers be in families where moms and dads love God and they would not miss a church service. But now all of a sudden, mom and dad just don't love God like they used to, or something else has come up. And now a teenager comes all by themselves and they sit by themselves. I've seen preachers. I was greatly encouraged by, it's been a long time since I preached in that area of Mississippi. And last week during the conference, Justin Corley came up to me as one of my teenagers. He's about five times bigger than I am. Big fella. He could be my bodyguard. But Justin came up, and he's pastoring the Lebanon Baptist Church in Seminary, Mississippi. And we talked. I took him out, treated him to a meal, and I said, "Man, I just want to tell you how much I love you and how proud I am of you because you didn't quit." I remember when I flew over to the Philippines, Mike Ray came running down. First time he ever came to the Philippines with me and to preach at the youth conference, and he came running down as he would in that short body of his, and he came running down the corridor of the airport, and he said, "We made it! We made it!" I thought he was talking about the flight, and I said, "Yeah, it was a good flight." He said, No. He said, "We made it, you and I, we made it." I said, "Yeah, we made it." I thought he's just really emphasizing the flight. And he says, No, we haven't quit. We're still in." Can I tell you, it is a great tribute to those that sit around you to realize you're still here. It's a great tribute. It's a great testimony for those that stand beside you when you sing a song and they look over. And by the way, you listen to me, there's a great dearth in churches. We have about 70 workers that's outside working in other ministries right now as they're counseling young people after the preaching and whatnot, and many, many decisions will be made for Christ. But can I tell you, there's a lot of churches here, even in the metro, that doesn't have Sunday night church. They just called it off. It's simply because the members have decided, "I quit." There's been a lot of members that decide they don't want to go to Wednesday night Bible study. They just kind of throw in the towel. They just say, "I quit." There's a lot of preachers that I know around the country, and I said just a moment ago as I gave illustration about Justin and how proud I was of him, but he wasn't the only one. Man, preachers came from different areas in Mississippi just to stop in and say, "Hey, look, preacher, I just want you to know I am so glad you're here, and we just wanted to stop into the conference to say hi and give you a hug," and they're still in it, and they haven't quit. So you think about this. Why is it that some people quit? My mom had emphysema, and she'd have a hard time breathing, but she was really devoted as an Avon sales lady. And she would go out, and she had a route that she would run, and she wanted to make sure she personally delivered all to her customers the product. She didn't want to send the boys, and we wouldn't like that anyway. But she wanted to make sure that she delivered the product. She wanted to make sure that she did her part. There was just no quit in my dear mom. I remember my dad, and he would work at Maryland National Bank in Baltimore City. I was born at the John Hopkins University Hospital there many years ago. We lived on Hickory Avenue, and I remember my dad getting up, and he would go to work as I, of course, lived with them after the age of six. But I remember him getting up, and he would go in, and I remember he kept a very good schedule. And my dad was a worker. You never had to worry about if he's going to get his job done. He always got his job done. He was just that caliber of a man. And can I tell you, there's just no quit in that guy. We ought to have that which is a no-quit attitude when it comes to serving Jesus Christ. Why is it that people quit church? You ever wonder? Why is it that people quit on God? Now, to me, you ought to be so happy that you're saved. You ought to be so glad that you're saved that you don't even think about missing Sunday school. You don't even think about missing a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church. I mean, after all, he shed his blood. He died for you. He went to the grave for you. He rose for you. And that's eternal. That's eternal. So a job doesn't compare to that which is eternal. All right? And so, but why is it that some people quit? Let me give you some things about John Mark. May I do it? Statement number one, John Mark had no reason to quit. John Mark had no reason to quit. Acts chapter 12 and verse 12, the Bible says, and when he considered the thing, it says he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. Now, this is John's mother, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. It says, where many were gathered together praying. Now, understand, John Mark came up in a very good family. Back in those days, if you were going to hold a gathering together and Jesus Christ, our Son of God, was going to show up, can I tell you, that was outlawed. That was something that was not supposed to happen. And you could actually even go to prison, if you will, in those days as you would gather as Christians that would collectively come together. And here's this woman, here's John Mark's mother that just stood and said, hey, we're going to have church at our house. Doesn't matter what the persecution is. Doesn't matter what I'm going to face. It doesn't matter if they come in and they arrest us all. It doesn't matter if I wind up going to prison or I wind up dying. It just doesn't matter. We're going to have church. Now, by the way, can I tell you, that's a great attitude. And can I tell you, that's a great testament. That's a great testimony to that which is a son. Somebody that says, hey, look, man, we're just going to go to church. Hey, we're just going to have church. And by the way, that's the way it used to be. It used to be that people would not use the excuse, well, you know, I'm tired because I work Monday through Friday and I've got things to do around the house on Saturday, so I need a day of rest. Well, let me tell you something. You ought to take a day or some time to rest, but don't put that which is rest in the place of being faithful to that which is the house of God. We ought to decide that church is important. We ought to decide that, yes, if they were to come into this place and kind of scoot around all of the trains out there in order to make it in, and they were to come in this place and try to arrest us and take us down to the jail because we're having church, nobody ought to run in fear. And thank God it's not that way in America. Now, it is that way in other countries, but can I tell you, people are gathering this morning underground to be able to have church. They're gathering this morning in a place where they are in fear perhaps of their very life and survival because church means that much to them and church ought to mean that much to you. Hey, thank God for the house of God. I'm saying that John Mark had no reason to quit. He had a good testimony in his mother, and his mother was putting herself up in a place of jeopardy. She was putting her place up in a place of, if you would please, danger, but she decided that it did not matter. She was still going to have church. And can I encourage the young people here this morning? You better get it deep down inside of you while you're a teenager and while you're a young person. You ought to get it deep down inside of you that church is important and carry that over into your young adulthood years and just decide it doesn't matter if society changes, it doesn't matter which way the wind's going to blow, but you just decide that you're going to love God and serve God and be faithful to church. It doesn't matter if mama quits, it doesn't matter if daddy quits, it doesn't matter if uncle or aunt quits, it doesn't matter if grandpa or grandma quits, it doesn't matter if all of a sudden there's problems in your life, you ought to be faithful to church. I'm saying this morning, John Mark had no reason to quit. He had a good family. Statement number next, he had good teachers. Think about this. Look at Acts chapter 12 and verse 25. The Bible says, and Barnabas and Saul, it says, returned, it says, from Jerusalem. and they were, it says, fulfilled in their ministry, and it says, and they took them John, whose surname was Mark. So here he is, he's hanging around some pretty good guys. He's hanging around some pretty good leaders. He's hanging around some pretty good preachers. So he's in good company. He had some pretty good teachers that would stand up and say, now look, John, here's what you need to do. He had some pretty good preachers in his life. And by the way, thank God for preachers that do not cow down, but still preach the truth regardless of the crowd. And this is who these men were. They weren't going to get up and soft soap it. They were just going to get up and say, thus saith the word of God. And by the way, I would want to go to a church where a preacher got up and had the boldness and the love for God to be able to stand up and to preach the truth and cry aloud and spare not, even if it does offend people. You know, sometimes you need to come to church, and I love you, but sometimes you need to come to church and the preacher needs to be able to step on your toes, spit in your face, and tell you how it really is. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to come back to where you sit, but I am saying this. I'm saying that, look, don't change churches like you change stores just because things don't go your way. You come to church because you love God. You come to church because you love the Bible. You come to church because right is right. You come to church because it's being a good testimony. You come to church because it's just the right thing to do. Amen. Now, here John Mark is. Hey, why is it that this guy would quit? I mean, he came up in a good family. He's got a mama that loves God, setting the right example, even when facing danger. He's got good men in his life, such as Paul and Saul, of course, that became known as the great apostle Paul. Barnabas was a good man that was filled with the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 11, verse 24. Paul was a powerful preacher. As you would see him go about and be able to preach the word of God, and he was a church planter. He was like an evangelist, but also had a pastor's heart. I mean, he was a great, great person to be around. No doubt he came across people that were Bible scholars, if you will, that understood the very deep things of God, and he was around these type of people. I'm saying he had a good family. I'm saying he had good teachers. Oh, watch this. He had a very good position. Acts chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, and it's talking about here and hearing the word of God in the synagogues. And it says, and of the Jews, now watch it, it says, they had also John their minister. So he was serving these men. He got to hang around them. He got to walk beside them. He got to eat beside them. He got to hear them preach in the synagogues. And he was ministering onto them. That means he was serving them. By the way, I don't think that men of God is of any greater value than anybody else. But I tell you, I love to get around. I thank God for the preachers that are members of this church that had pastored and God has brought them our way. And man, I love hanging around them, especially those that are a little bit older than I am, to be able to pick their brain and to love them and to cherish them and to be able to honor them. And can I tell you, John Mark, listen to me, he had no reason to quit. Came from a good home. Had no reason to quit. He had good teachers. He had no reason to quit. He had good preachers that was in his life. Statement number one, John Mark had no reason to quit. Statement number two, but he quit. He quit. John Mark quit. Watch this, if you will. Acts chapter 13 and verse 13. The Bible says the latter portion of that verse, after they were visiting these cities, the Bible says, and John departing from returned to Jerusalem. He left them. Why did he leave them? I don't know. Bible's not clear. Could be he was homesick. Could be he was tired of the sacrifice. Could be that he just was tired of serving. Could be that he thought that he'd already paid his dues. Could be that he had a friend pull it on his coattail back home. Could been that somebody said, hey, you're hanging around those fundamental independent Baptist preachers and there's other type of places you can go where it's not going to be as tough. Yeah. Could have been. Could have been somebody had said, you come to our church and we don't have those Bible standards, and you come to our church and the preacher doesn't preach like your preacher preaches, and we just feel all about the love of God and it's just wonderful, and you know, man, just come and we'll just make you feel good. It could have been that. It could have been perhaps that there was people that was pulling on him. Maybe a mom and daddy was pulling him. I don't know. Maybe there was a friend that was pulling. Maybe he was tired of somebody persecuting him every time he turned around, somebody making fun of him. Maybe he saw that being a preacher is not all fun and games, and sometimes you get nasty notes, and sometimes you get nasty phone calls, and sometimes you get nasty emails, and sometimes people threaten your lives, and you know, sometimes it's just not all that it's cracked up to be. Maybe he saw the reality of what it is like to be a preacher, and he said, this is just not for me. I don't know what it was, but I can tell you this, one thing is true, he quit. One thing is true, God recorded it. One thing is true, we're reading about it right now. And one day, dear friend, somebody's going to read your mail. One day you're going to have a child. And by the way, most of the time when you start having children, you want them to be in church. But one day that youngster is going to turn around to you and say, well, you're wanting me to be faithful. Were you always faithful? And it's going to come back and slap you in the face. What are you going to tell them? Well, to be honest with you, I was just busy. So busy is more important than God? Well, you know, you don't understand. We had to make money. You mean God could not give you money? You mean you had to replace church with a job because God was not big enough to give you a job that would not replace church, even though he created the church? You know, for some reason, I think that we have a small degree of faith in God and a lot of degree of a faith in us. But I'm going to tell you something. There's going to come a time in your life, dear friend, where you're going to need God in your life. You're going to need God in your relationship. And you're going to need God in child-rearing endeavors. There's going to come a time in your life when all of a sudden you get stricken down by a disease. And at that time, you're going to wish that you were close to God. And you're going to wish that you could get a hold of God. Hey, why wait until you're in an emergency situation? Why don't you put God first? Why don't you keep him first? Why don't you just decide, I'm going to be faithful to the things of God. I'm going to be in church, and it doesn't matter what my friends think. It doesn't matter what my enemies say. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to put him first, and it doesn't matter what my neighbors do or what they think about me. I'll simply serve God. Why is it that we got to put him second? Why we got to put him down the chain line? You know, we weren't the best parents in all the world. I can testify we made a lot of mistakes. Hello. But one thing we always did, we were always in church.
Right. Right.
We were always pointing our children to God. Amen. We were always trying to be faithful. You say, why? Because I realized that, dear friend, was a life jacket. I didn't want my kids, I don't want my grandkids to grow up not knowing faithfulness,
amen,
not practicing faithfulness. Can I say this morning as kindly as I can? John Mark had no reason to quit. He had a good mama. He had good teachers. He had a good position. But in the Bible, sadly as it said, he quit. What it was, we do not know. We do know it's boldly put there, he quit. Oh, but preacher, don't you think that sometimes somebody get persecuted so much that they just get so tired and so wore out And they just throw in the towel. Look, yes, I do believe that. I believe that people have illnesses and sometimes they can't be faithful. And I believe that sometimes there's strains and they cannot be faithful. And God understands all that. But for those of you that are able-bodied people, for those of you that do not have the illnesses and do not have the challenges, can I say this? Pray tell me this morning, what is your excuse? I'm saying this morning. We ought to decide that we will not quit. We ought to decide that till we take our last breath, that we'll be faithful to the thing that Christ himself established. That was the local church. I'll go a step further. Can I do it? I believe this. I believe if there's another church that's having a conference and you have church at your church, you ought to be faithful to your church. I'll go a step further. I believe if our tour group is singing someplace in town, you ought to be faithful to your church. I'll go a step further. I think that when we have conferences, God brings good men of God here, you ought to be faithful to your church. Say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying don't quit. Hey, somebody's watching you. Somebody looks at you as a light. Somebody is saying, thank God for them. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I've already thrown in the towel. I've already quit. I'll answer that in just a minute. But I will say this. One thing that is prevalent in John Mark's life that would be written all throughout the ages of history found in the book is that John Mark quit. I don't want to be a quitter.
Amen.
I want to preach till my dying day. I don't know if I'll pastor till my dying day. I think I can make it to at least 70, maybe a little bit further, but I don't know about that. When I become detrimental to the church, I promise you this, I'll lay her down. You can call a younger guy. I don't think I'm going to lay it down too quick, though, because I'm not old. That would be a good time to say amen. But can I tell you, dear friend, listen, he was no, yeah, somebody said, preachers never retire, we just refire. By the way, that's the way it is. Now, we may refire as we get older with a little bit less powder in the gun, but we still gonna pull the trigger because we're used to pulling the trigger. Now, let me tell you, John Mark had no reason to quit. John Mark quit. Statement number next, John Mark did come back. Amen. Now thank God for that. Woo! I thank God for that. I was down in Mississippi, a preacher came up to me, and he said, you know, he said, I hadn't seen you in 10 years. I said, man, how you doing? He was pastoring another church, and he said, well, I'm doing good now. I said, what do you mean you're doing good now? He said, preacher, I got out of the ministry for about 4 years. He said, I knew God wanted me to pastor, but he said, I just got so discouraged. So discouraged. He said, I'd preach a message, and he said, my members would meet me out in the lobby out there, and they look at me in the eye and say, now, preacher, you preach too hard. He said, then I'd preach another message. Somebody else would come up to me, shake my hand, said, preacher, you didn't preach hard enough. He said, then I'd preach another message, and somebody would say, you don't have any compassion. I said, well, I asked him a question. I said, was all these the same people? He says, no, they were different people. He said, but I figured it out that they didn't want me. And since they didn't want me, I'd just go someplace else where I was wanted, so I resigned. He said, the only problem, I didn't have a place to go, so I've been out of the ministry for 4 years. He said, and it's burning inside of me. Now wait a minute, watch this. John Mark came back. By the way, I do believe that the Bible says that Paul finished his course. Don't you ever judge somebody if God changes their course.
Right.
Example, I was an assistant pastor for 10 years. Then God changed my course. Then I became a pastor for almost 5 years. Then God changed my course. Then I was an evangelist for 12 years. Then God changed my course. Now I'm the pastor and been here for 7 years. Now I'm praying that God doesn't change my course because I'm getting tired of changing courses. But do you know when I left evangelism and came here, I had preachers that criticized me? They said, no, America needs you. You can't come out of the field of evangelism. Look what you're doing for America. Overseas, they need you. I said, I got a problem with all that. You're seeing the need, and I'm seeing the God that knows all the needs. I've got to obey God. I know preachers that say this. They say, well, you ought not to go to a city that has a lot of other churches in it because, after all, that's not the will of God. No, no, no. You determine the will of God by God. Hello? See, we have to decide this. Just decide. Oh, we got some of these kids. This two rows right here. Just stand. Just stand right here. Just stand. These two rows. Just okay, boys, you feel left out. Stand too. Go ahead. Go ahead. Stand. Stand. If you ride the bus, raise your hand. You ride the bus. Raise it up high where they can see it. High. High. It's okay. Your underarm does not matter to me if it stinks. Raise it. There it is. Now, wait a minute. Majority of them, they're in these rows right here, especially the girls. They ride the bus in. Now, watch this, if you will. Boy, they thank God the bus captain hadn't quit. They thank God a bus driver hadn't quit. They thank God that you hadn't quit giving your tithes so that we can pay gas so they can come to church and stand a chance to be able to understand God and let God work in their life. They thank God for that. They thank God they get to come to an old-fashioned Baptist church that's not one of these newfangled, charismatic, a piece of nothing church. Where they go and it sounds like a rock group on a Sunday morning, just like it sounds down in the bar. Well, they thank God for a place where their standards are high, where somebody loves them enough to tell them the truth and say, you need to operate this way. You need to put your life in right. Now, can I tell you, thank you, be seated. But I hope to God that later on, as they get older, they don't quit. You say, but preacher, their mom and dad's not here. Hey, my mom and dad never went to church. After I got saved and I started going to the Baptist church, I'd invite them and invite them and invite them. No, man, I'm in that car. I'm driving by myself. I went by myself. Many times I'd sit by myself, but there was something burning inside of Mike Wells's heart that said, I need that Bible preaching. I can't make it by myself. I need God to help me, and I don't want to be somebody that winds up. I watched some of my relatives get out on drugs, and I watched some of them smoke pot, and I watched some of them drink beer, and I watched their lives wind up wrecked and ruined, and I said, by the grace of God, I'm not going to let that happen to me, and I'm going to keep going. And by the way, in church, you can get around the right crowd. In church, you can hear the right type of preaching. In church, you can be led of God, and God can work in your life. But you're not going to find that at the bar, and you're not going to find that at the ball game, and you're not going to find that out there amongst the world. I'm saying this morning, thank God for church. I'm saying John Mark had no reason to quit. John Mark quit. John Mark did come back. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, as I close it down, the Bible says, and you think about this, the Bible says that there was only Luke that was with him, that was with the Apostle Paul at the time. Luke was a medical doctor, so probably had a reason for being there. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, he says, only Luke is with me. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Hello? Now, I'm just the preacher. I know that. I know that. As I sit here before I preach, please forgive me, but I'm sharing what I do. But as I sit here before I preach, I look out over the congregation and I write down people's names that are not here. Then this afternoon, most of the time, Sylvie and I, Miss Wells and I, we don't go home. We stay at church all day long. We go out and get something to eat. We come back here. In case somebody needs us or whatever, we stay here. And Sometime this afternoon, I'll take this list that I have right here, and I'll kneel over there on that couch area, and I'll pray for every single one of these people I have written down here by name. I said, "Dear God, I don't know what the problem is, but they weren't in church this morning. Father, I pray you help them. I love them. And God, I pray you'll meet." Oh, you said, that's now I know the way to get you to pray for me. I'll just miss church. That's not what I'm trying to point out. I am saying this morning, however. I am saying this. I'm saying that John Mark had no reason to quit, but he quit. But John Mark did come back, and I like this because Paul is the one speaking. Don't forget that John Mark, being the one that returned home, later on he wanted to rejoin the group, and Paul said, "I don't want him to go with me." Remember that? He said, "I just don't want him to go with me." Barnabas, which I believe was his cousin, took him, and they went together. And then Paul went over, and he took Silas with him, and they went their direction. Now all of a sudden, Paul is in prison, and the one thing that he changed in his heart was the way that he thought about John Mark. He said, "By the way, you tell John Mark to come over here." He says, "I need him." See, don't you ever feel like that you get so backslidden that, number one, you're not missed. Amen. Number two, nobody cares about you. Number three, nobody loves you. Number four, nobody's praying for you. Don't you ever feel like, "Well, I tell you what, Parkside Baptist Church is growing, and if I don't show up, I'm not missed." You are missed. You are prayed for. Somebody's looking for you. You disappointed somebody by not coming. Can I say this morning, that John Mark does come back? And by the way, you can come back anytime you want to, and you can always be profitable to God if you decide to come back. You say, "Is it that easy?" It's that easy. Amen. By the way, you came this morning, didn't you? That easy. Amen. You could come tonight. Amen. Well. That easy. You could show up on a Wednesday night. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, you decide how far you're going to go with God. You decide. You decide, "Hey, look, I'm going to get in a little bit further. I'm going to get in a little bit further. I'm going to get in a little bit further." Or you can put the brakes on and say, "Ho-ho, that's as far as I'm going to go." Now, by the way, don't let anything stop you from obeying God. "Well, so-and-so hurt my feelings." I love you, but in the name of Jesus, get over it. Get some maturity about you. Get some big boy shoes on or whatever you got, and get over it. Amen. Look, you cannot stay at any place, whether it's church, Walmart, working in some other field, that eventually somebody is not going to hurt your feelings. They're going to hurt your feelings. "Well, they hurt my feelings, and so I just think that I'll leave church." Boy, you love God, don't you? "Well, you know, well, look, then don't sit beside them. We have a big auditorium." Say, "Well, I just, you know, they bother me." Well, don't sit beside them. Let them sit here. You sit way over here. During handshaking time, you shake the hands of the people over here. Let them shake the hands of the people over there. Now, hopefully, eventually, Christian maturity and spirituality is going to step in somewhere, and you're going to make things right. But until you can bring yourself to that, that's okay, as long as you stay in church. "Well, so-and-so offended me." So what? "So-and-so talked bad about me." Well, at least you gave them subject matter to talk on. So what? "Well, you know, I wanted to sit beside so-and-so, and they don't want to sit beside me." Change your perfume. For men, your deodorant. For men, put something on. I'm saying this morning. John Mark, he does come back. You know, thank God that he just decided that, hey, here's what I'm going to do. By the way, there was a day when Jonah quit on God, broke God's heart, but he did come back. There was a day when Jacob made some wrong decisions, and I really believe broke God's heart, but he did come back. There was a day when Peter opened his mouth one too many times, made some tragic mistakes, but he did come back. There was a day when David made some very, very bad mistakes, even had a man murdered, but he did come back. Don't forget, Moses was a murderer. He came back and God used him to pen the first five books of your Bible. He came back. So what is our excuse? Oh, but preacher, I'm just not motivated. Hey, kick yourself with your spiritual boot, but get in church. Come to church and love God. Come to church and hear the preaching. Oh, but preacher, I don't agree with everything. You don't even agree with yourself. Come to church. Be faithful to God. Put God first. Let God work in your life. Give God your life, and God can change your life, and God can work in your life, and God can change your kids, but you've got to get in church. Saying this morning, and I'm done. John Mark had no reason to quit. None. Had it all going. John Mark chose to quit. Unspiritual? I believe so. Backslidden? Yep. Reasons? Maybe in his own mind, in his own heart, justifiable. Needless to say, all of his life, we've known John Mark. There's the quitter. There's the quitter. There he is. There's the quitter. You said, preacher, that's not right. God wrote it in the book. There's the quitter. He quit. 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 Oh, preacher, give him a break. He quit. He quit. Give him a break. He came back. He came back. He came back. Paul in prison. Man, Luke, I'm going to die. You're my doctor. I'm going to die. Do me a favor. Get me John Mark. He came back at such a status that the greatest Christian of that day said, I need him. I need him. The greatest Christian of the day had a need. And he said, I need him. By the way, let me ask you a question. Somebody needs you. Amen. Will you be there? Father, help us, I pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.